you very much. Now, the background for this project was that, firstly, treated sewage effluent can contain significant amounts of nutrients, but it is also moderately saline. However, in the past, in more coarse-textured soils, it has been used as a source of irrigation water. So, but when we started this project about almost 16 years ago, there were a few long-term studies that looked at swelling soils and the long-term impacts of irrigating with treated sewage effluents. The soil, our objective was to assess the long-term changes in soil salinity, sodicity, and carbon storage in a gray vertisol under conservation farming. The experiment was conducted on a commercial cotton farm. It's located about, let's see if I can get this moving. Sorry. So it's located around about 670 kilometers northwest of Sydney by road and about 550 kilometers southwest of Brisbane, just west of the Great Australian Divide and the area which we call the Northwestern Plains of New South Wales. The climate is a subtropical semi-arid climate. Annual rainfall averages 593 millimeters. The soil at the experimental site was a self-mulching grey vertisol, or classified as smectit ecthermic typic haplostert. But as we'll note, as by the end of the experiment, that taxonomy would have to have been changed. On the average, in the surface 0.6 meters, we had 54% clay, 14% silt. It's, I'll go back. And 32% sand. It was an alkaline soil with an average pH of 7.3. That's pH measured in calcium chloride. CEC was 36 centimoles per kilogram. The subsoil was sodic. That's the 0.6 to 1.8 meters. In Australia, we use a 6% ESP as being sodic. The ESP in the 0.6 to 1.8 meter depth averaged 11, but it ranged between 9 and 22. Prior to the commencement of the experiment, the farm was under a wheat pasture rotation. That's approximately one wheat crop to about four seasons of pasture. It was not irrigated, so it was a rain-fed system. The experiment, the cropping system throughout this experiment was a cotton wheat rotation sown on 2 meter beds. Now, cotton in Australia is sown usually in October. It's picked in May. A wheat crop is sown immediately after that. And that is then harvested about late November or early December. Thereafter, the site is kept as a fallow until the following October when cotton is sown. And we used 2 meter beds, so basically there were two cotton rows per each bed. From 2000 to 2002, the site was prepared initially by disking, then chiseling. Following that, it was laser leveled in June, and a wheat crop was sown. After the wheat was harvested, it was laser leveled again because there were some issues with the slope. From 2000 to 2002, we had two treatments. Gypsum applied at 2.5 tons per hectare in June and an untreated control. The experimental design was a randomized complete block with three replications. Each plot was 400 meters long, which is the length of a irrigation run into 12 rows. Water irrigation was applied through a furrow irrigation. In both treatments, the cotton was sown into standing wheat stubble. The wheat stubble was not incorporated, but it was left in situ in the beds. Water flow through the furrows was facilitated by the use of a Ortman cultivator, which is used to clean out the wheat stubble. And from 2003 until 2014, The gypsum-treated plots were cultivated with an airway cultivator before sowing cotton. The control remained as before. So there was one pass of an airway cultivator before sowing cotton. This slide shows you on the left, on my left-hand side, is the, what the plot looks like after cultivation and before sowing cotton, and that's the control treatment. And prior to irrigation, these furrows are cleaned out with a with an Orthmo cultivator, and the furrows reshaped. The soil was sampled to a depth of 0 to 0.6 meters, and we divided into three zones, 0 to 0.1 meters, 0.1 to 0.3 meters, and 0.3 to 0.6 meters. We measured soil pH in 1 to 5 soil to water suspension, sorry, pH in 0.1 to point, in pH was measured in calcium chloride. Salinity was measured as electrical conductivity of 1 to 5 soil to water suspension. Soil organic carbon was measured with the Walkley-Black method, and bark density was measured on using soil clods. And from this, we calculated soil organic carbon storage. The exchangeable cations were measured using what's called the Tucker method. That is, the soil is pre-washed with aqueous glycerol and aqueous alcohol to get rid of any excess salts. And extraction is done using an alkaline ammonium chloride solution. The pH has been standardized to 8.5. And from this, we calculated the exchangeable sodium percentage and the electrochemical stability index as defined by Blackwell and others. This is basically the ratio of EC 1 to 5 to ESP and is considered to be a better indicator of soil dispersion than ESP alone. And we monitored yield throughout the experiment. This data, this figure shows you the average water quality of the irrigation water. Generally, pH was about 8.9 and it was moderately saline. It was fairly rich in sodium, so we had a fairly high value of SAR. The values, water quality generally improved in years of, in wet years or when rainfall was frequent, purely due to dilution. Dilution of the treated sewage effluent by rainfall. And in dry years, the reverse occurred. This is the rainfall that occurred during the experiment. I have plotted it as rainfall during the cotton season, which is the rainfall from the 1st October to the 31st May of the following season, and the winter season rainfall, which is rain from the 1st of June until the 30th of September. Typically, the winter rainfall is about 200 millimeters, but during this experiment, it was only on two occasions that rainfall exceeded the long-term average, and in some years we had virtually no rainfall during the winter. We also had periods of quite wet rainfall. That was in 2005, and commencing in 2009, there was an extended period of rainfall, which resulted in some waterlogging and localized flooding. Now, going on to the results. Soil pH over the years showed a general increase in the surface and in all depths. We also see, there was also a dip in the pH at the start of the experiment, which is a consequence of the land preparation that occurred. In general, there was an increase of about 0.02 units per year. Salinity showed an increase following the dry period in 2006 and 2007, and it appears from this that the leaching requirement is met partly through rainfall, not through the irrigation that was applied. All the management on the site was done by the collaborating farmer. So, exchange of calcium, there was an increase in the surface, but in the other depths there was a decrease. Exchange of magnesium increases up to a point and then drops down. And this occurs in parallel with the changes in salinity, but there is a stagger for 1 year. Exchange of potassium, there is an increase in the surface, but in the other depths it remained fairly constant. The exchangeable sodium percentage exceeded the 6% value quite rapidly in the surface and in the other depths. And the point in the subsurface and the subsoil, by the end of the experiment, it had exceeded 15. The electrochemical stability index, the threshold for dispersion, is 0.05. And that value dropped quite quickly, except during the periods when salt accumulated in the surfaces. Soil organic carbon, the key message here appears to be that we basically have two phases. There was a declining phase and an increasing phase. And analysis of the data indicates that the declining phase is associated with the changes in salinity, and the increasing is due to the decrease in salinity. The literature indicates that soluble sodium and soil organic matter can form a complex which is then can be lost either through drainage or through runoff. And consequently, we had a two-phase changes in soil organic carbon throughout the duration of this experiment. Cotton lint yield is shown here in bales. A cotton bale is equal to 227 kilograms. For much of the experiment, there was no differences between the treatments, except in 2003 or 2004 season when the gypsum treated plots had slightly lower yields than the control treatments. The average cotton yields for irrigated cotton in Australia is about 9.7 bales per hectare, and in this experiment we are exceeding that in most years. Generally lower yields at the start of the experiment is not unexpected due to land forming and land preparation. In 2011-12 season, we had a sharp drop here due to a combination of waterlogging and cool, cloudy conditions, so overall radiation levels were low. So we concluded from our study that the two management systems had very little or no impact on cotton lint yields, as far as the soil properties were concerned, that the major changes in soil properties were driven by a combination of irrigation water quality and the seasonal variations in weather. And I haven't gone into this in too much detail, but that the leaching requirement was met through the rainfall and not by the irrigation alone. And thank you very much. I'll conclude there. Thank you.